So I've been sprucing up the podcast studio lately and have added some killer new decor. You've probably recognized some of this artist's work if you're in the outdoor space at all. Ryan Kirby's classic white-tailed deer prints, they've got this awesome vintage vibe that just works whether you're at home, your office, or even at hunt camp. One of my favorites is the growth and maturity of the white-tailed buck print. It captures the life cycle of the white-tailed buck as he matures from year to year. Not only does it look great, but it's also packed with info to help you age deer on the hoof. One cool thing about these prints is they've been approved by the National Deer Association, so you know that the info is spot on. Ryan Kirby's work is top-notch. I know you know the magazine Field & Stream. When they decided to go back to print, they reached out to Ryan to do the cover art of their first two issues back to print. Go check out his stuff at ryankirby.com, and my listeners can get a 10% discount by using the code CHECKOUT10 at checkout. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. Hope you are well today. Well, tomorrow is Secession Day. Some people call it Independence Day. It is the 4th of July. Most importantly, though, it is Ransom Sparks' birthday. Very excited for his birthday tomorrow. We do obstacle courses for birthdays, all our children after 5 years old. And the first part of the day of every birthday is doing an obstacle course. And so I've got some work ahead of me getting things planned tomorrow. Very excited for him to turn 11. It's awesome to see him just growing into a humble, godly young man who's loving the Lord and loving people and working hard and all those good things. Okay, tomorrow is Independence Day. I want to challenge your thinking a little bit today to be thinking about it as Secession Day, because this country was founded on the principles of secession. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we're going to get into our content today. I'm going to be reading a Substack from a gentleman. I'll give him credit and get this link in the show notes. His name is, let's see, I'll just go ahead and say it up front and then say it again in the back. It's No Jesuit Tricks on Substack. I think his name is Brandon something. But he's got a really provocative post. I think it's helpful for us to think through American history and realize that history is somewhat complicated, but it is incredible to see what God has done. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into our content. Father, we just thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon it. This is going to stretch some people's thinking, and it will be a challenge to some. And I just ask it would be a blessing upon those who are thinking through our history and the history of this world and recognizing that there's ways that we can be sloppy in our thinking. And we want to be not sloppy. We want to be faithful. And we want to God, history requires us to think biblically and to consider sources and walk in wisdom and how we interpret things in the past, recognizing that your hand has been all over it. As we look back, we want to thank you for your work in this country and thank you that there was that original secession, as there was that original civil war between a union and a group of rebels. And we just thank you that God, that your word and the truth of and the principles of the law prevailed, and we got to secede from that union. And we just thank you. Lead this time. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there has been a lot said over the last year, 2 years. The Reno book, Return of the Strong Gods, has got the language of post-war consensus in the minds of so many. And we've been able to see that, wait a minute, there really is a post-war consensus about reality and taboos, what you can and can't talk about, fear of certain power dynamics, of nationalism, and all of those sorts of things. You can't believe things too much, or you're going to end up, you know, obviously turning into Hitler just like everybody else who believes things too much, that sort of thing. Move away from dogma into general melting pot understandings of what a nation is and what our nation is in particular, and you can't believe things in principle too strongly, all of those sorts of things. There's a post-war consensus. But one thing that John Harris said maybe 6 months ago or so that stuck with me, and it's been kind of lingering with me, is that if you want to talk about the post-war consensus, you really go back to the post-Appomattox consensus. And what is the consensus post-Second War for Independence? What is that now as we look back on how we interpret our history as American people? And I think there's some things that we can think through that are quite important. For one, when we think about the 4th of July, we call it Independence Day. But what are we really celebrating? Okay, what we're celebrating is that there was originally a, you can call it civil. There's no such thing as a civil war, really, because there, in almost all war, there's somewhat total war tactics that are implemented. Is it really civil when you're talking about people who are fighting against themselves? We were fighting against our own empire, our own nation. I mean, the British Empire had, it was the sun, the nation or the empire in whom the sun never sets. All over the world, the British had colonialized and built up and converted. Just amazing things that happened through the British Empire. And then this ragtag group of people, of British settlers in the New World, in these 13 colonies, were being frustrated because there was no representation. There was taxation. There was no representation. The very laws were being broken. Their original commitment was not to Parliament, but their original commitment was to the king. And the now the Parliament is laying down upon them things that they did not originally submit to at all. And they began to be frustrated, and they had this idea of secession. They believed that it was their right to form a government that worked for the people, was by the people, for the people. And they were fighting for a voluntary union of a group of people. And so they went against that power. Let me just read something that I think is pretty provocative and helpful in thinking through a lot of our history, because there is, let's see, what did I write here? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even though there is no such thing as civil war, there's just that, that's what we call it back in history. And I think it's good to help think through that there was that original civil war. Most people think when they hear the civil war, as obviously they think 1861, 1865, they think the North and the South. But I'm challenging you here today to think through Secession Day. When did we secede from the British Empire? Let me read this provocative article. Again, that Substack is no tricks, no, let's see, no Jesuit tricks on Substack. Okay. Here's what he has to say. Think through this with me. Many years ago, two peoples on this continent were engaged in a cruel and bloody conflict. One side was referred to disparagingly as rebels. They had sought for many years to maintain their rights within the Union, but they finally came to the conclusion after much debate that the time had come to establish a government of their own. As an exercise of their sovereign rights, they formally dissolved the union that existed between themselves and their central government, and declared themselves free and independent states joining together in a confederacy for their common defense. The central government decided that it could not allow this, so in an effort to preserve the Union, they raised a large, well-financed, and powerfully equipped army in order to subdue that which was termed by, and at the time, the rebellion. The rebels did their best that they could to raise an army. They asked a Virginian of some notable military experience to defend their homes and their firesides. They hoped that in doing so, they would be able to secure their liberty. The rebels claimed the right to be free, but they also had sanctioned slavery. Thus, their statements about liberty and freedom were viewed by many to be hypocritical and hollow. The central government saw this as an opportunity to weaken the rebel offense and offered emancipation to the slaves held by them, hoping to stir up domestic insurrection. It didn't work, but they tried it nonetheless. The ensuing war was long and bloody. Indeed, historians have long acknowledged that cruel acts directed toward the rebel civilians was harebanger of the 20th century concept of total war. The Old Dominion of Virginia was the site of many of the bloodiest battles, and after the number of exhausting years of struggle, the ragged, hungry, and decimated rebels found themselves in a small Virginia town. There they awaited the surrender. After many years of faithful and honorable sacrifice, these rebel troops were to witness the end of their struggles. And there in that small Virginia town, the tattered army of the rebels met the spit and the polish of the well-maintained army of the central government. It was a historic moment. It was a moment that the country would later on view as the birth of liberty and freedom. From on that day, the despised rebels saw the army that sought to defend the Union surrender to them. Yes, the Unionist surrendered to the secessionist. Of course, I write of the army led by George Washington in 1781. The small Virginia town was Yorktown. The Union Army was the British Union. It was only a little over 80 years later that the Southern sons and grandsons of these brave and hardy men took up arms once again to defend their liberties. Winning, it seems, is tremendously important when it comes to how one views history. The winners write the history books. Thus, when the loser seeks to speak, he is often greeted with cries of derision and disbelief. Whoa. How about that for a quick, provocative article, thinking about that first act of secession. Now, many of you are going to disagree that the second war for independence in this country was similar to the first war of this. They're just going to disagree with that. I've come to see that the second war for independence was basically the exact same war as the first war of independence. And in that first war of independence, we defeated the empire. And the second war for independence, unfortunately, the Jacobites and the powers that be, that powerful central government, ended up beating those who were seeking to preserve life and liberty for their families and homes and for their own nation. Now, there's a lot of layers to that. I get that. I understand. But I wanted you to think critically about history and the history in our country, and to look back to Independence Day as not just being an Independence Day, but it is a day of secession. It was a day of civil war. It was a day that blood was spilled for liberty and freedom, and this country was birthed on these principles of a voluntary union. History's complicated, isn't it? When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, one of the lines in there that's difficult is we have the line indivisible, that we are an indivisible nation. Is that how we were founded? Were we founded as an indivisible nation? Or were we founded as a voluntary union of states that were voluntarily coming together? At any time, they could say, this federal government is not working for us. We're going to voluntarily remove ourselves. Or are we forcibly kept a part of this indivisible union, which is the case now, and we cannot secede anymore. But we were founded on that great principle of secession. So hopefully this has been something for you to think through, just good, food for thought, right? And you can celebrate tomorrow the great secession day where we won our freedom from the tyrannical Central Union Army, the British Empire. Okay, guys, thanks so much. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope you have an incredible secession day tomorrow and a great time with family and all of that. And we certainly will with Ransom's birthday and all the fun that we have planned. Okay, thanks for listening.